I almost had a panic attack this morning as I came to church and I pulled out my sermon to get ready to just go over it one more time. And I pulled out a sermon from like weeks ago and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have my sermon. But luckily, I just didn't pull the old one out, so I had two of them in there, so we're good to go. And Eddie, can I just come to your class? Can I just skip all the other classes I'm going to and just come to that new class you're doing? Because that looks pretty awesome. Yeah, it looks really good. I would love to go through the adult version of that. They have one. They have one? What? Oh, okay. Good catch. All right. Kids, you can blast off to kids' church. I'll forget that, so see you, man. Have fun. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for just bringing us all here this morning. Be with little Julia right now. She's embarrassed. We pray that you will just guide us as we go through Acts. Father, I want to take this time to lift up those people who are maybe not having such a good morning because they've lost everything. I pray that in their hearts, God, that this is an opportunity. I pray this is an opportunity just for you to be glorified so that people, maybe they see that they lost everything, but there is one thing in this world that nobody can take away, and that's you. And I pray that you will be glorified and that you will not waste an opportunity for salvation for some of these people who have lost everything. But even in that, Father, I ask for healing. I ask for new hope. I ask for a fresh start. I ask for just all the resources that's needed. And I pray you be with those in Florida too right now as the storms are bearing down. Just be with them, God. And I pray that you will put it upon the hearts of your people to be obedient to the call, to do whatever is necessary to help, Father. And be with us again this morning as we go through Acts. Thank you for allowing me, just a normal dude, to be able to get up here and do this. And I pray that you are honored and glorified, and I pray that your words are spoken. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We are in Acts, and I had to backtrack a little bit because as I was reading through it, I realized that I was going to have a little more substance to get the full sermon. So I got permission from Eddie to back up to verse 6. So it's going to be verses 6 through 11 and not 9 through 11. So if you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of the scripture. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Sorry, I'm reading the prompter. I'm not reading my Bible. Shame on me. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." All right, you can be seated. So the disciples had spent all this time with Jesus. They heard him talk often about the kingdom. They saw his death on the cross. Here he was standing before them after all that. He had done everything that he told them that he was going to do. And the question that they asked him shows us how hard-headed humans really are. Look at the question that they asked. All this time, all the trials Jesus went through, Jesus still has to deal with their lack of understanding. Let's put ourselves in those shoes for just a minute. Some of you guys got children, right? You might know where I'm going with this. Or, it don't have to be children. You may just know people. If you know people, this also can happen, right? You've told somebody something 3 times, right? Especially with a kid. Like the 4th time, you're like coming unglued. Like, yeah, and they still, it still doesn't, register. It's just kind of the same thing that Jesus is having to deal with right here. So Jesus, not only did he told them these things over and over, but they experienced all these things with Jesus, right? And so here they are asking this question, and the question they asked was, can you put it on the prompter? I don't have it memorized, sorry. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So the disciples were asking a worldly question, even after all these great spiritual things that happened right before them. And the answer they got from the Lord, the worldly question, spiritual answer. The question was asked, I think that's the same with us sometimes, right? We'll ask worldly questions to God, and we often don't get the answer we're looking for. Because the answer we're really looking for is a worldly answer. We don't want to hear something spiritual. God, I want this. Okay, here, I'm going to give you this, right? That's a very worldly mindset. But the perspective of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual one. I believe these moments, the Lord is always giving the answers that we need, but his intent is to refocus our hearts and minds on the spiritual instead of the worldly, the material. He wants us to focus on the infinite, not the finite. In other words, to get the answer we need, it has to come from a proper perspective. It's got to come from the perspective of life that is not temporary. It is an eternal perspective of life. Sometimes our question is like, Lord, when are you going to give me what I want? And the response is from God, Chris, I want to change your heart, not your clothes. So the same thing happened here with these disciples. Lord, when are you going to do these things that we have been hoping for so long? I mean, we saw you do miracles. You were crucified and you were raised after 3 days. And you spent time teaching us. Now, when are you going to give us what we want? Notice that his answer seems somewhat encrypted. He doesn't directly answer their question because at that point, he would have been giving in to them. He would have been neglecting a really good opportunity to share the spiritual side, right? So the temporal don't really matter in the long term. But what does matter? The kingdom will be established, but not quite the way that you're thinking. And not in the timing that you're thinking. As a matter of fact, he could tell them, you got the whole thing wrong. The kingdom that's in your mind, you think it's what you need? It's definitely what you want. But here's what I desire to give you instead of that. And if we look here, we can find ourselves in this text. For me, myself, there is no doubt. When I go to the Lord in prayer, my focus is sometimes internal. It's temporal. It's even selfish. God, give me this or give me that. And what does this say about my view of life, really? Maybe I don't really trust what God wants to tell me or want to do in my life. Maybe, God, I don't trust you that you're going to take care of me. So I need to ask these specific things so life can go my way. And I can feel really good about following you because you're giving me what I want. Perhaps he would say to me or you, congregation, maybe he would say, congregation, I know you ask me all these things. I know you want all these things, but my desire is not to change your clothes. My desire is to change your heart. I want you to be less inward focused. Don't worry about the little things that in the long run mean absolutely nothing. This is what he told the disciples. I know what you want, but let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me tell you what you need. And by the way, one more point to add here from the answer to this question. Let's follow the example of Jesus Christ here. When the opportunity arises to turn a worldly question into a spiritual answer, seize the moment to be spiritual minded and share the living God with other people. When you get the opportunity, be looking for those opportunities. Jesus was the master at this, right? You know, you'll see all through Scripture, somebody will come to him with a question. He always turns it into something that focuses on the kingdom of heaven. And we can make this a practice in our own lives. Of course, people might get sick of you. Oh no, here comes, going to be talking about kingdom of heaven again. You know what? So be it. If that's the way it is. So that brings us to verses 8. That was 6 and 7. Now we're at verse 8. You can read it there if you want. I'm not going to read it again. But Jesus answers the disciples with an answer that reveals God to them. He answers them with a spiritual perspective of, I'm sending you what you need in order that you may glorify God and spread the message in order to expand God's kingdom. That's the answer. This is not often our motive when we pray and we ask God for things. But what does the Bible say about asking for things? If we turn to John 14, 12 through 14. Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The Lord's answer to disciples could also be summarized as, I am leaving you bodily, but continue the work of the ministry. I'm giving you everything you need to continue on. He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us that enables us to live out the Christian life. He enables us to defeat sin. He enlightens us with the knowledge of Christ. He enables us to understand God's word. He is what we need to continue the work of expanding God's kingdom, to continue the ministry. After Jesus tells them about the Holy Spirit, he's lifted up into this cloud. And this reminds me, my mind quickly jumped to another part of Scripture. And maybe if you've been a student of the Bible for very long, your mind will do the same thing when you hear about this cloud. In Exodus 13, 21 through 22, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and did not depart from before the people. The cloud in Exodus was a representation of God leading his people out of bondage into the promised land. And we know from history that this salvation from bondage into the promised land was temporal. It was temporary. But here in Acts, we have another cloud. And it takes up the one who promises true deliverance from the bondage of sin. This cloud takes up the one who promises access to the true promised land. If we follow him and believe in him. This cloud was symbolic of the presence of God. Here Jesus is taken up in the cloud, and instead of being here on earth with us, and instead of using a cloud to guide us, we receive something else. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead us. Upon salvation, we receive him into us. He is a part of who we are. And he continues to work out our salvation in us, through us, until the day that we are called home into the promised land ourselves. If you're a child of God, then you know that this Holy Spirit is not some kind of mystical thing. And you know it to be true because he leads us from the time of salvation. He is the one that encourages us. Maybe sometimes when nobody else will. He is the one that rebukes us. Maybe sometimes when nobody else will. He is the one that helps us to grow. He's powerful. He is the one in us that we know is doing greater things in our hearts and lives than we know we can do apart from him. We don't have the power to do some of the change. Christian, you can agree with me here. Some of the changes that have happened in your heart since the day of salvation, you cannot attribute that to your own willpower. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that when we begin to turn back to our selfishness, he reminds us that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. He lets us know that we've been called to do greater things than just pursuing our own selfish deeds. He gives us strength when the world says we are weak. He gives us comfort when the world says we should be miserable. He gives us peace when the world says we're supposed to be afraid. He gives us faith when we can't seem to muster any of our own will. We cannot live this life without this amazing gift from our Father. Let's be thankful to God for this. Sometimes we don't think about the Holy Spirit and what he actually means to us and what he actually does for us in our life. We need to have a thankful heart towards this gift. Just think about how hard living out your faith is right now with the Holy Spirit. Remove it. Reality check. Impossible. He is a true blessing to us. So Jesus is taken up, and the disciples are all there looking up to heaven. And these two men in white robes appear. This would be known as angels. And they didn't come with big flapping wings and halos. They apparently looked like two dudes, but they were a little differently dressed. So Eddie brought up last week that we can sometimes have this non-biblical view, and you know, and it's not just with angels, it's with many things, but we have this non-biblical misconception of what angels really are. So I'll just reiterate Eddie's point that these angels were not once people that did enough good things on earth so they could earn their halos and wings. Angels in the Bible are defenders. They're warriors and they're messengers. In this case, they appeared right after the ascension of our Lord, right? And this adds to the ending comment of what Jesus was telling his disciples at that time. He gives us a gift. And why did he send this gift? So we could be happy and feel good about ourselves? No. But that does come with understanding of who Christ is and who you are in him. It's something to feel good about. He sends the gift so that the disciples and us, all of us that are saved, can get to work doing his will. That's what it's about. It's not about you and the car you drive and the house you live in, right? It's not about that. So here, they just got this message for these two messengers. They just got the message from Jesus Christ, and the two dudes, the angels, here they are. They show up. It sounds kind of comical. Have you ever walked up on someone looking up at something and you can't seem to figure out what they're looking at? Like, you know, they're just kind of staring at it. That's kind of what my mind has conjured up right here. As these guys are just like, you know, they're just staring up at the sky at this point. There's nothing there. And so the angels are like, what are you looking at? Right? They're like, come up to these dudes. What are you looking at? There's nothing to see here. Just keep moving. This mentality seriously happens to us. Sometimes we get focused. We may get focused on prayer or Bible study, some good things, but we forget to go to work. Prayer and Bible study should lead us to go to work. It should change our attitude. It should change our perspective on life. How we view the world, or you could say, it should change your entire worldview. Quiet time is not for the sake of quality time with God alone. Although it is quality time with God, it's about what happens after the quiet time. The revelation of our own sin so that it may be corrected. The revelation of things Christ is calling us to do. Sometimes we spend too much time focused on the wrong things. Staring up at the sky, if you will. People will flock to a statue or maybe a remnant of something that looks like Christ. Perhaps it's a tomb or a temple or a shrine or a saint. At any rate, these things are not Christ. They tend to cause the wrong focus of faith. Some churches teach a perfect following of the law. The law points us to our flaws, which points us to Christ. Some churches teach that Christ is a means to an end goal that you have in your life. If that end goal is anything other than salvation of souls, then your focus is wrong. The point is, we can be focused on seemingly good things, but they're not Christ, and they are not a part of what Christ has called us to do. So here they are standing around, and the angels are like, what are you doing? It's time to get to work. Don't stand around staring at the sky. There's nothing here for you. But the angels lead the disciples with a promise. This one, just like the gift of the Holy Spirit, was an offering of hope. It was as much a promise to them as it is to us today. Jesus will return. Amen. And many of us may be physically dead at that time. But we can all see that time is getting closer. I know back in the old, when I was growing up, you'd always run these people, well, the time is near, right? It's just right around the corner. And that was their push to try to get me to be saved, right? Time's right around the corner. But it is. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. The time's getting closer. We see things happening progressively. And throughout history, they have happened. And they're going to ramp up leading into the end days. We don't have to fear that. But no one knows what time this is going to be. We just know it's getting closer. So if you run into somebody saying, well, it's going to be on this date, 2018, this is when it's going to happen, just go ahead and write that off. Because the Bible specifically states, no one knows. All right? But we have a hope that supersedes anything that this world can offer us. And one of those is that if we are absent from our bodies, then we are present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Not to become an angel and look over people. Those jobs are already spoken for. It's not going to be you. We just get to be done. We get to be with our Lord without shame, without sorrow, without the nagging, and sometimes excruciating pains of these beat up old bodies. I know you're looking at me like I'm not real old or beat up, but I am kind of beat up. I got a lot of issues. All right. But just the beating that we take from life in general, right? The other hope that we have is that our Lord will be back to rule over this earth. And the redeemed, hopefully I'm talking to you, the redeemed will rejoice. Tina, can you come up, please? So, to close this, I just want to reiterate some of the points that we just went through. Some things that we all need to kind of ponder on, maybe. Some things that we can take home with us, think about, maybe. Maybe you don't have to think about it here. Are you seeking worldly things when what you should really be seeking is the spiritual? You go ahead. Do you have a problem in your life? I imagine we can all say, yep, I got a problem. Yeah. Perhaps you've sought advice from your own intellect to try to remedy this problem you got. Perhaps you phoned a friend. You may even have did a Google or YouTube search to help you with your problem. It's pretty common today, right? Any problem you have, oh, Google it, right? Maybe you've tried some physical solutions to the issue that you're having. And perhaps your real problem isn't physical. The physical is just a manifestation of the spiritual world. Perhaps you haven't solved the problem because you need a spiritual solution and not a physical solution. Seek God on all things. All things. There's nothing that God does not care about in your life. Everything. He is the source of your very existence. Of course he cares about you and even the little things that are going on in your life. He cares about that. And he can and will help you overcome. He'll either help you overcome your problem, or he's going to change your perspective of that problem. He's going to change your perspective to line up with his perspective, to look at that problem in a different light. And that problem may not go away, but it may be of use to him for you. Of course, he can remove it altogether. Every situation is different. But always seek him first. Put him first We talked about in Bible study today how what we often do, we wait for a crisis, and then we begin to seek God. And his desire is, I want to be here on top first. I don't want you to come looking for me when you have an issue, right? It's like a kid who leaves home and never calls home. Only calls home whenever they need something, right? They're in a crisis. They don't want to build a relationship. And, you know, I'm sure God can get, I mean, he probably looks at us and is like, yeah, I can help you with that. But that's not his desire for us. His desire is a relationship, right? And when I call and want something, that's not a real relationship. It's really not. So the second point is kind of same as the first. So the question is, where are you focused? Are you standing around staring at the sky, waiting for something to happen? Are you walking in obedience to the call that is on your life, Christian? If Jesus has called you, you are called to something greater. You're not called just to have a great life, and it's so much more than that. Don't be blinded by that. You're called to greater things. You need to acknowledge it. None of us are called to stare at the sky and wait. We're not. We're not called to just to wait around. Well, I'll just wait around for somebody to do something. No, that's not it. We need to be about our Father's business. Right? At home, in your life, with your children, with your wife, with your husbands, you're even called to something greater there. And now take that and go to school. Take that and go to your job. Take that and go to your favorite recreational activity, whatever it may be. Right? It's bigger than you and your selfishness. Don't stare at the sky. We need to be involved in quality time with our Lord, because he uses that quality time with our Lord. He uses it to change our hearts so that we will begin to want to do the things that he wants us to do. We will line up with his perspective of life. We will push aside the world. We'll push aside our own, the way we were raised or whatever we're thinking is the way life is. And we will begin to grab a new perspective of life and realize this life is short. People need Jesus Christ. We have to stop walking blindly. The world pushes us to do that, and we embrace it in general as a Christian community. We're like, yeah, I'm just like the world, but I have Jesus, and that's cool. That's not cool. You're called to be different. You're called to speak his name. You're called to tell other people about him. That's why he gives you this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't deny it. Your mission field and your commission is to take Jesus wherever your feet may wander and speak his name. I'll pray, we'll close. Father, thank you so much that you didn't leave us here high and dry just to try to figure it out on our own and struggle with it. You gave us this amazing gift upon the day of salvation. And I feel like there are times when we just neglect it or we forget about it. I'm calling, Lord, for you. I'm asking you to call upon the hearts of this congregation to walk in humble obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to not neglect the things that are around us that are going on, to look for those opportunities, Father. Give us the boldness to find those opportunities when we know people are denying you and denying who you are. Let us use the tools and the gifts and our mouths and our hearts and everything within us just to proclaim your glory and proclaim your name. Let us walk in obedience to your Holy Spirit. I ask that you'll be with us as we go out, Father, and that you'll bring us again together. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.